Well, thank you. Can everyone hear me okay? All right. Well, thanks very much. I'm excited to talk to you today about a program that we've been working on right here in Chicago to promote healthy lifestyles among Latino children and their parents. So to start off, I have no relationships to disclose. And a little bit what I'm going to be talking about today, I'm going to be talking about the why we're focusing on this program and how we've been doing it and what we've actually been implementing, and then I'll tell you about some of our preliminary results as this program is ongoing. So to start off, probably everyone in this room is already familiar with these statistics, but high BMI, overweight and obesity in childhood has been increasing over the past 40 years, and approximately 1 in 3 children in the U.S. are either overweight or obese. And these are associated with poor mental and physical health, impaired social, emotional, and academic functioning in childhood, and also predictive of adult overweight and obesity and associated health problems throughout the life course. So it's really important to address this issue. And we see that high BMI starts very young. You can see on the left a jump from the 2 to 5 age range up quite steep to the 6 to 11 year olds. And it also is not evenly distributed in the population, but as you can see on the right, Hispanic and Latino children are at higher risk for overweight and obesity than their non-Hispanic white and black peers. So what's going on in Chicago? This is a map of Chicago. Where we work is there in the red circle. Our target neighborhood is the Pilsen neighborhood and surrounding areas in Chicago. excuse me. In these neighborhoods, they're predominantly Latino. About half of all children are overweight or obese, and adults have recognized in studies and expressed their concerns that their children are not getting enough exercise, not eating well, and they've so this program that I'll be telling you about is addressing a problem that's been identified in the community. So a little bit about the partnership model. This is a community academic partnership. We're funded by the Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Program. And J&J simultaneously provides funding to our community partners while also providing funding to me through Johns Hopkins to be trained in how to provide technical assistance to our community partners to develop and design programs and improve ongoing monitoring and evaluation of those programs. So to introduce our partners, Chicago Hispanic Health Coalition is our primary partner. They're very well known and respected in Chicago for many years, and I'm thankful that they're here today as well. SGA Youth and Family Services has partnered with CHHC and has provided one of our primary educators for the program. And then the Chicago Department of Public Health has also provided a physical education coordinator for our program. So this is the actual program, Por Su Salud, SGA Stay Salud, so for your health, health stars. And the goal of this program is, as I've already said, to promote healthy lifestyles for the prevention of obesity, particularly among children age 8 to 12. And the program that we've been using is adapted from the Por Su Salud program, which was originally developed for as a health education program for Latina women in Chicago. And this program has been adapted for to target Hispanic children, and primary adaptations include making the language a little easier, targeting, making the exercises more fun, and adding additional components, adding parent components. We also added a mental health screening, which I'll talk a little bit more about. And it's delivered in 12 weekly 90-minute sessions. And this is really brilliant, and I love it. I actually don't speak Spanish, but it's delivered in this beautiful blend of Spanish and English by our educators. I've been able to participate in the program when I've done site visits and engage with mothers who primarily speak Spanish, and it's just really beautifully done. So the theory, our conceptual framework of how we see this program working is that exposure to the program will really impact knowledge, attitudes, and also parent engagement, which we recognize is very important for influencing childhood behaviors. And that through impacting these factors, these mediating variables, over time we will improve actual behaviors and enable maintenance of a healthy weight over time. And I put this here, this program flow, just to highlight that this program really is more than just a health education program. When kids are recruited to the program, rather than just registering for the class, they conduct a comprehensive needs assessment with our educator, who will not only screen them into the education program, but also will identify needs for other services, such as linking to a pediatrician, referral to housing or other social services, and conduct a mental health assessment where, if that child is identified at risk, they may have an enhancement for child counseling on the side. Here's just a picture of the kids. And these are the weekly sessions, the titles of the weekly sessions. And you can see they're meant to be fun and educational for the kids. So as I mentioned, this program is ongoing, and I've been working with our partners for about 2 years now, first in the formative phase, and the results I'll be reporting on today are from the implementation period phase one. We are continuing to implement the program, will be through March 2016 through this funding source, and we'll be continuing data collection and providing a final outcome report. In the formative phase, we worked a lot on development of the program, selection of the program, data management systems, training the program through part of this monitoring and evaluation, training on consent and assessment forms. They also contracted out to have the curriculum adapted, as I described. And you can see here the kids at the first week and the last week, they do a pre and post test. To the left is a page from one of the assessments. And you can see, again, they made it really fun and engaging for kids. So this is an after-school program delivered in a school-based setting, and it's meant to be fun. During implementation phase one, we had, in pilot and implementation phase one total, we graduated 84 children from the program and continued to work on learning through our partnership, data management and things like that. So the results that I'll be presenting today are all results, although I'm presenting them now, these are all results that my program team now knows how to produce on their own through our partnership, and they'll be producing the final report. I'm presenting on implementation phase one. We had 72 children with pre and post data. They're between ages 8 and 12, and you can see about a half of the kids were overweight or obese at baseline. Now, presenting on baseline and follow-up among kids who answered at both time points, first we wanted to look at knowledge and how knowledge changed over the course of this program, and you can see that the children's knowledge of basic health guidelines significantly improved in terms of knowing recommendations for how many fruits and vegetables to eat, how much exercise they should be doing every day, and also how much screen time they should be getting. So we were very pleased with the improvements in knowledge in our kids. What we didn't see as much of is how many children were meeting those guidelines. We didn't see those changes, but again, thinking back to our conceptual framework, we're not entirely surprised by that because we see that as being a longer-term process. I will highlight the fruits and vegetables as kind of a marginally significant, so you can see trending toward promising behavior change. But what this shows us is that we need to be looking more incrementally at this period to look for smaller changes, and that's what I'll be showing you next. So, for example, children did report an increase in daily consumption of fruits and vegetables from 2.9 servings at baseline to 3.7 at follow-up, and that was a significant change. We didn't see any change in consumption of sugary drinks, but that's actually pretty low at only 0.75 per day, and a slight but significant increase in intake of healthy snacks as well. One of the things we really wanted to instill in the kids is confidence in attitudes and being able to make better choices for themselves for their diet. We didn't see a significant increase in that, but we did see a slight increase that potentially hints towards a trend of significance with, at follow-up, 83% of our kids feeling confident or very confident that they could choose a healthy snack after school. In terms of physical activity, we on the left here, you can see at baseline and follow-up, almost all of our kids reported having any exercise the prior day, and a large majority of our kids also reported screen time, and that remains fairly stable. When you actually look into it, again, these are not significant differences, but something that we see as a trend. A slight increase in the amount of time reported getting exercise, and a slight decrease in screen time the day before. Now, we also targeted parents through this program, and I will just point out here, the sample size for our parents is smaller, and this is one of our learning things in the program, that we also implemented with the parents, a pre and post test, the beginning and the end. And we had a lot of different parents show up. So we had mom at baseline and grandma at follow-up. And that's really a strength of our families, that we'll be learning how to draw on more and how to assess the knowledge that we hope to see better with our parents. But this is on for parents who did have baseline and follow-up data. And you can see very low level of knowledge about recommendations on the left at baseline, and a huge jump for knowledge of the fruit and vegetable recommendations and exercise recommendations at follow-up. Looking more at behaviors on the right, this one was very surprising to us. One of the things we emphasize is the importance of sitting together for family meals. And you can see there was actually a significant decrease over the program in the number of family meals parents reported having with their children the week before. I'm not sure why that is. I have a theory that perhaps it's just the program involvement itself. It's an after-school program. The parents are involved there, and maybe that just interferes with their ability to have dinner with their kids that day. But we do see parents reporting in the second column from the right an increased number of dinners that they included a fruit or vegetable with dinner, from 3.6 to 5.1, and an increase in family activities that involved a physical element, a physical activity component, from 2.2 the week before to 3.4, and those were significant improvements. In addition to the numbers, we love to see the participant feedback, and these are some kids that were involved in the program and some testimonials that, again, we see, you know, for example, diffusion of this program. So not only did my son stop drinking soda, but he also told his little brother not to do it. Or after the program, we're all more aware and we're all working to make better choices for our family. And then this bottom one of the little boy who now wants to join the soccer team because he feels like he can. So we're really pleased with that. We also saw over the course of the program improved engagement with the school. At the very beginning, it was a little bit challenging to convince parents to give the program a try. These days, Martha, one of our educators, just, you know, has to call people up, and everyone knows about the program, and they're excited to sign their kids up. And so we see that ongoing engagement that we hope to continue to facilitate. Just some final thoughts. I talked a lot faster than I did in all of my practice. This is program monitoring and evaluation. This is not a rigorous randomized control trial. We have no comparison group, self-report data, and we've learned a lot along the way about children's ability to self-report accurately, and that's something that we should highlight in this program, particularly when we do or don't see results. We also, as I mentioned, did have some difficulties in assessing parents' involvement, and even when we did get their pre and post information, we didn't track so closely in our monitoring data how engaged those parents were. Or say, for example, when we see the increase in knowledge, is that because those parents were there every week in the program, or is that because the kids were going home and sharing information with their parents? So as we move forward, we hope to continue to increase our ability to really see what's working about this intervention and emphasize those elements, and also identify areas that we can improve on. But generally what we found was that the program was well received by the community. We saw that there were strong changes in knowledge and mixed results for behavior, which we'll be looking to explore more about, and other impacts like I described, engagement in the community. We had a group of parents at the school who on their own decided to undertake an initiative to promote healthy lifestyles and healthy diets at school, and they actually sought out one of our educators to support them in that program. Now, whether that's because of the program or not, who can really say, but we're excited to see these ongoing relationships in our community. In the future, we hope to continue to work on this program, and again, in our partnership model, one of the goals is that in addition to monitoring this program, our team has learned the skills to be able to conduct an evaluation of their program and turn that into applications for future grants to continue this and to expand it to other programs that they work with. We also really want to do more looking at parent engagement and to see if there's differences in child outcomes by level of parent engagement, and to again find more ways, as we've seen in the pilot and in the first implementation period, it's so important to engage with our parents. So we want to find better ways to do that. Lastly, they're here in the audience, Martha and Yolanda, and I would just like to acknowledge them for all of their work. A program is in such large part successful or not due to the people who are working every day with the kids, and Martha and Yolanda are just really wonderful. Martha, again, is provided by the SGA Youth and Family Services, and Yolanda is a health educator through the Department of Public Health. So what we really saw here is a real coming together of multiple partners in the community working to improve the health. I would also just acknowledge the J&J program that funded us, and Dr. Fonseca Becker, who is our faculty advisor, who helps keep us on the right track. And the program, if you're interested in learning more about it, I think we have some handouts in the back. And the program was originally designed and then adapted by Dr. Michael Quinn and Marla Solomon. So they were instrumental in helping us with this as well. And that's what I have for you. Thank you.